You went back to your old girlfriend.
When his ex felt wronged.
You say she vandalized your car.
Yes, ma'am.
She wanted to make things right.
She was pouring her beer in the back seat of his car, took his soda, poured it on the front seat of the car.
Did you do that?
No, I did not.
Oh, don't fib to me.
Judge Judy.
Pouring beer in somebody's car is not $700 worth of damage.
Somebody poured a beer into my car. I got news for you. I would consider that big time vandalism. Big time.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 21-year-old Stacy Pedersen is suing her ex-boyfriend, Ronald Martin Jr., for loans to pay his car insurance and to replace a car tire.
Order. All rise.
Now it's case number 76 on the calendar in the matter of Pedersen versus Martin. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Ms. Pedersen, the defendant was your boyfriend. You claim a couple of small loans to him totaling $194. Mr. Martin says that you gave him this money. There was no agreement to pay you back. But he's got a counterclaim. He says that you damaged his car when you had a hissy fit in the amount of $750. So tell me about these loans that you made to him.
Well, on March 12th, of 2008, he had asked me if I could pay his car insurance for him because it was due the next day. And
were you living together?
No, we were not.
Tell me where that phone call took place, or was it in person?
It was in person at his grandmother's house.
And he said what?
And he said that he didn't have any money, but he was supposed to be getting paid that Friday, and so that he would pay me back when he got his check.
And your story is?
What happened, Your Honor, was it was my deadline to pay my insurance, and I went to go see if I can make some payment,
a partial payment,
and then make the rest in a couple of days when I got paid. My insurance told me no, and I had called Stacy on the phone and told her my solvent story, and she had agreed to use her credit card because I had to have my insurance paid that day or my insurance was going to be discontinued, and Stacy agreed to pay with her credit card. That way it could be paid that day.
I understand what you're saying. I understand English. It's my first language.
So I met her at my grandma's house, and she used her phone, called in, and paid for it.
Right. And what did you say to her about getting paid on Friday?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth,
Don't look over there. Look over here, right here.
Yeah. I had $40 on me at the time, and I offered to give her the $40 I had on me, and she said just to keep it, it's okay, she'll cover it.
What did you say about Friday getting paid?
I didn't say nothing to her, only to the insurance.
And what did you say to the insurance people?
I asked them if I can give them the $40 that day and then make up the rest on Friday when I got paid. They said no.
Right. So if you said that to the insurance people, you're telling me that you didn't say that to this friend of yours?
Correct. I didn't say it to her, yes.
You didn't say that?
No.
Whose car is it?
It's my car.
Whose insurance is it?
It's mine.
How much was it?
It was $113.45.
That's what you owe her so far. What's next?
But I don't owe her nothing if I didn't borrow it. I just said to you,
I find that you borrowed it.
Okay.
That's why you're here. You're here to have a judgment made by somebody who is in authority and who will decide whether it was a loan or a gift. Okay. I have ruled. It was a loan.
Agreed.
Perfect. What's next?
On March 15th, he asked me to buy a car tire for his car because one of the front tires was completely bald. And he was supposed to pay me on the 14th, but he had claimed he had other bills that he needed to pay, and so he wanted to know if he could pay me with his next check. And so I agreed, but instead of paying his other bills, he ended up gambling his entire check away and calling me on the 15th asking to borrow another $100, in which I said no. This time.
How much was the tire?
The tire came to $80.70.
Let me hear about the tire, Mr. Martin.
I needed a tire. She felt sorry for me because I had to drive so far back and forth to work and my tire was completely bald.
How did she know your tire was bald?
I told her.
I figured you told her. Tell me about the conversation. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with my husband. He's never told me about his bald tire. I never have a conversation.
Well,
I never remember him calling me up and said, honey, I have a bald tire.
Actually,
let me hear about the conversation that you had with her about your bald tire.
I had said something to her about my tire being bald and traveling back and forth on the freeway so far to work, and that it was probably not safe for me to be transporting myself with a bald tire. And again, she just volunteered
just
to pay for it.
Just a second. So what did she say to you?
She said, we'll go down and get you a tire today.
And you said what?
Thank you.
And where is your tire?
On the car.
You owe her $80 for the tire. Then after you gave her all these sob stories and she paid some money for you, then you went back to your old girlfriend, according to what I've read in these papers. Is this the old girlfriend?
This is my cousin, Shauna.
Where's the old girlfriend?
She's at home.
What is she doing home?
I don't know. She didn't want to come.
Good.
Yes.
Now, you have a counterclaim.
Yes.
You say she vandalized your car.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you do that?
No, I did not.
Oh, don't fib to me. Tell me about it.
Well, on April 1st, I got into a fist fight with my grandma's next-door neighbor, and I went to jail. And when I got out of jail April 4th, I didn't want to go back to my grandma's house because my next-door neighbor wanted to,
finish it off.
He wanted to finish it off. He wanted retaliation. So my ex-girlfriend, Kenya, offered me to stay the night at her house, and so I took her up on the offer. And when I woke up the next morning, it was her knocking on the door, yelling, come outside and talk to me. And I didn't want to come outside and talk to her.
So your car with the new tire was parked outside Kenya's house. Is that right?
She...
I just answered
that question. No, it was at my grandma's house, actually. The car was.
Where was the car?
It was parked in the parking lot at Kenya's house.
I don't think
see how easy that was?
Well, then it would have
just
been a dead
second.
Giveaway
you
that I was
see how
there.
Easy that was? It was parked at the parking
That's
lot at Kenya's house. She knew that. She knew that. Go ahead.
And like I said, first it was come outside and talk to me. And then it became I'm knocking on every window, every wall of the house, walking around the whole house, getting louder and louder. And next thing you know, it was come outside and fight me. And
What time of the day was this?
This was in the morning, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock maybe.
You must have been looking for his car for a long time.
And
no.
She was drinking a beer outside, getting her courage up, I would imagine. And the next thing I know, Kenya's telling me she's outside with a knife, telling me she wants to stab me.
Don't tell me what Kenya told you. That's hearsay.
I didn't ever go outside and look at her. I hid in the house.
I just want to know who saw her vandalize your car.
My cousin Shauna did.
I knew there was a reason for Shauna. Go ahead.
After, I guess, she left Kenya's house, she came to my grandma's house. She asked me, call Ron. I want Ron here. I need to talk to him. I'm not going to stop.
This is Ron?
Yes, this is Ron. So she goes to the bathroom, and I'm calling him, telling him, you need to come down here and talk to her. Well, finally, a couple hours later, he decides to show up. In the process of the couple hours later showing up, me and Stacy were outside and a couple other friends.
What was she saying to you when she was outside? Was she angry?
She was angry. He was with his ex-girlfriend.
She was angry because he was sleeping at?
His ex-girlfriend's house.
Right. And?
We were having a beer, and then he came up a couple hours later, and as he pulled up in front of the house, she left the porch, went to the car, she walked out to the passenger side. There's no window in the passenger window, and she had a beer, and she said, hey, how's your doing? And then she was pouring her beer in the back seat of his car, took his soda, poured it on the front seat of the car and on the floorboard. As that was going on, I'm telling him, just leave it alone, leave it alone, you know. He's like, I'm going to slap her. I'm like, no, you're not. Just leave her alone. So as she's standing there or whatever, I had another one of my friends. I'm like, come and get her. After she poured the soda, she got the mirror on the side, grabbed that and turned it around. Then my friend came behind her and went to grab her. She went like this to the top of the door. She was pulling it. My friend pulled her away, and she pulled it off. She came up to the windshield and hit the windshield with her hand. Prior to the windshield, her hand hitting the windshield, there was already a little crack on the window. When she hit the window, the crack expanded.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Pouring beer in somebody's car is not $700 worth.
Yeah, you tell me that, madam. If somebody poured a beer into my car, I got news for you. I would consider that big-time vandalism. Big time!
And later today...
Maybe an I'm sorry would be in order.
I'm sorry, Mr. McCoy.
Your apology is accepted.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Stacy Pedersen says, ex-boyfriend Ronald Martin Jr. owes for two loans. Ronald is countersuing, claiming Stacy poured beer in his car and smashed his windshield.
Let me hear about the car.
I did pour beer in the car, but I did not hit the windshield and break the windshield. His car was an 85 piece of junk. The windshield was already cracked from the top to the bottom. I did not vandalize his car.
Well, you did vandalize his car, madam.
Well, I poured beer.
No, she did more than just beer in my car.
Can I see the car?
I have pictures of the windshield. Now, I do admit there was a slight crack in the windshield over here.
Huge crack.
And when she had hit it on the passenger side over here, the crack went from here all the way across my windshield.
I'd like to see it.
And then here's
please.
Another picture of my rear, my passenger side mirror that she ripped, and it's an electric mirror. And so she turned it all the way around, like twisted it all the way around.
Okay. The car's how many years old? 23 years old?
It's an 85, yes.
How much do you think it's worth?
I'm trying to sell it for $700.
How successful are you?
Right now, I'm not having no success.
Well, it's worth at least $193, right?
To me, it's worth
$700. Is what you owe her.
Yes, but to me, it's worth $700 because I put in $700 into the car.
Well, she can't get away with vandalizing your car.
Pouring beer in somebody's car is not $700 worth.
Yeah, you tell me that, madam. If somebody poured a beer into my car, I got news for you. I would consider that big time vandalism. Big time. One of my grandchildren spills a soda in my car, I consider it vandalism. But when you do it on purpose, when you do it on purpose because you're angry, that's vandalism. You're stupid.
Madam, okay. Can I say something else?
Okay. Car's 23 years old, sir. If it's worth $300, it's worth a lot. You get nothing because I'm awarding him a judgment on his counterclaim for $400, which means that he owed you $193. You owe him $207. That's all. Thank you very much.
Why is that excuse? You may step out.
I can't believe he won.
She thought I was cheating on her.
I was upset. He was at his ex-girlfriend's house. What am I supposed to think?
She probably thought I was having sex or something.
He takes advantage of everybody.
I don't do nothing wrong, so I'm not going to change what I did.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of McCloy versus Cush. Step forward, please.
John Jack McCloy is suing Dorothy Cush for damage to his property, allegedly caused by her 10-year-old son, Quasi. John claims Quasi ran across his newly cemented sidewalk.
Okay. Mr. McCloy, I assume you have a private house.
Yes.
And the sidewalk in front of your private house is owned by the city. But it is your responsibility to keep that in good condition in front of your house. And you evidently had some trouble with the cement on the sidewalk in front of your house. And you had it re-cemented.
Correct.
And you put up probably little barriers around it so that somebody would know, don't walk on this because it's fresh cement.
Yes, I did.
And this young man, who's going to stand up next to his mother, was playing at his friend's house.
Next door, correct.
It was next door, and he came running around the corner, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you did that, what happened?
Well, Jonathan and I were racing to Brookside, my former school.
You were going to race with each other? Were you running, or was he going on his bike?
He was on his bike, and I was
That's
running.
What I read. So he was on his bike, and you were running?
Yes.
Did you see the wet cement outside Mr. McCloy's house?
No, not until I was stepping over the barrier because I was looking back at Jonathan.
What kind of barrier was it?
A rope.
I have pictures if Bird would like to show
I'd
you.
I'd like to see it.
Judge Judy, may I also explain that I sat out next to the cement while it was drying for 4 hours after it was poured to make sure nobody either inadvertently or otherwise had damaged the cement, but it was getting a little cold, so I stepped inside my front door to watch it further, and that's when my next-door neighbor's son, Jonathan, and Quasi had come by, and Jonathan went around it, but Quasi jumped right over the barriers and went into the cement and
got the in it. Other youngster was on a bicycle.
Yes, he went around it, but Quasi went
He went around it into the street.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so you have 3 footprints.
Correct. Permanent, still there.
So?
Well, the only way I could get rid of them is replace it again at a cost of $1,150. And one of the things that I tried to do is tell Mrs. Cush that I was willing to forego any monetary compensation for this situation. I tried to put myself in her position. If one of my kids did a bonehead thing, what would I want to be treated by?
He didn't do a bonehead thing.
But he...
He didn't do a bonehead thing. I don't think he did a bonehead thing. He didn't see this when he was playing with his friend.
There's a double barricade there.
Just a second. It's a double barricade. It's low. It's low to the ground. He doesn't see it. There's a low piece of rope or string with white flags on it.
Correct.
There is no big barrier that says, caution, wet cement. So he's running, and he jumps over it. You think that he did that intentionally?
No.
No, he didn't do it intentionally. He did it by accident.
But it's damaged nonetheless.
Well, that may be, sir. But that's not his fault. The alternative for him would have been to what?
To stop.
Maybe he couldn't stop because he was running, sir. Maybe he could run out into the street. Do you know that if he ran out into the street as a result of you doing this without proper precaution being taken for youngsters, and if he got hit by a car, it would be your fault?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I watch your show all the time. I think you make the right decision almost every single time.
And sometimes I
may don't
not.
Think you're making the right decision this time. And if you're disagreeing with me, that's fine.
I disagree with you, sir, because
I disagree with you.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jack McCloy says 10-year-old Quasi Cush ran across his newly cemented sidewalk. Quasi says he didn't know the cement was wet.
Now, what I'm saying to you, sir, is if I had the sense that this young man did anything purposefully...
I never said he did anything purposefully. I said it was a bonehead thing to do. He ran through the wet cement. The cement is permanently damaged.
And I'm telling you that there was no indication that there was wet cement. Show me where there's any indication that there was wet cement.
There's barriers, there's flags.
You can't.
Why would you think that barriers and flags are placed there?
I don't know. Sir, what? How old are you?
10.
I don't know what a 10-year-old boy figures, but there is no indication to me, sir, that this was done out of any malice. What is it?
I was 9 at the time.
Judge Judy, may I mention something?
Sure.
I tried to contact Mrs. Cush a number of times after this happened because I wanted to let her know that I did not want to have to sue her for the cost of the cement. But I felt that Kwesi should be taught a lesson. They told me once the footprints were in the cement that, well, hey, boys will be boys. I didn't think that was
just
the right answer.
Mr. McCloy, I just would like you to tell me. You know, I understand that you went and fixed this at a substantial cost to yourself. I want you to tell me, if you are trying to teach a youngster who's 9 years old a lesson, you're trying to teach him a lesson because he did something wrong. What you said in the papers was you contacted her not so much to get the money because you were sympathetic with her, but
yes.
You sat outside for 4 hours watching the cement dry.
Yes.
And you wanted to teach him a lesson by making him sit outside for 4 hours.
With a parent.
I don't care with a parent or with not a parent. When you try to teach a child a lesson, it's usually because they've done something wrong. And I want you to tell me what you think it was that this 9-year-old child did that was wrong.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Well, the area was marked with a rope and flags. And
marked with a rope
and white rags that
said nothing about wet cement. If he was walking and saw this area, as many a child might do, and said, I'm going to write my name in the cement. I'm going to put my hands in the cement. I'm going to take off my sneaker and put my sneaker print in the cement. Then I'm sympathetic with you. But what this young man said happened, and you don't deny that this is what happened. He and his friend were going to race to the school. His friend got on his bike. He started to run. When he came out and turned the corner in front of your house, this little barrier was there, and he just hopped over it. He didn't mean to damage the cement. He didn't know there was cement. I'm sure he can spell cement. He didn't mean to do anything wrong, sir.
Judge Judy, the only thing I can say is that I watch your show all the time. I think you make the right decision almost every single time.
And sometimes I may not.
I don't think you're making the right decision this time. I think the cement was marked properly, and it's permanently damaged. I didn't want a monetary settlement. All I wanted Mrs. Cush and her son to do was to spend the same amount of time to understand what 4 hours of someone's day is like, and she ignored every attempt I made to contact her about settling. It's just to teach him, you know, that he did something that was not proper. And if you're disagreeing with me, that's fine.
I disagree with you, sir, because I...
disagree with you.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning is provided by... Are you being sued? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Okay. I disagree with you, Mr. McCoy, because I don't think that this young man did anything intentionally to damage your property. I think that it was an accident that could have been rectified if there were appropriate barriers outside that were a little bit larger, that said caution wet cement, that had caution tape around it. All of those things might have mitigated it. I don't know, but I can tell you that if it was a purposeful act that this young man did, I guarantee you his mother would pay the $1,100 to have that re-cemented.
If a next-door neighbor, Judge Judy, was playing baseball and they hit a ball and it went through my window, you're saying that it's not anyone's fault?
No. Different story, sir. If someone hits a baseball through your window, whether it's done accidentally or on purpose, you're entitled to be compensated. But when you do something that is on public property, even though you are obliged to maintain it, and he's doing what he's supposed to be able to do on that property, which is walk or run on a public sidewalk, and doesn't do anything maliciously.
No, he did not do it maliciously.
Maliciously to you, it's not an act that can be compensated. I'm sorry. I know that you disagree with me. I think that you are not an unreasonable guy. I don't know whether you behaved unreasonably that day, but I certainly don't think that this boy did anything to warrant him sitting outside and staring at your cement for 4 hours.
No, I hope
that you continue to watch Mr. McCloy, because I value every viewer. I don't think you did anything wrong. Maybe an I'm sorry would be in order.
I'm sorry, Mr. McCloy.
Your apology is accepted.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, guys, please, you may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
That's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
Kwesi apologized, and that's all I was really interested in.
I just apologized to Mr. McCoy, and I'm real sorry that his cement was destroyed.
I just want Kwesi and his mom to know that I accept his apology, Kwesi, okay? And we're just going to drop the whole thing, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.